Will you pray with me? God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. Let us hear what you'd want us to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are celebrating Epiphany Sunday, which is the official ending of the Christmas season. And Epiphany barely gets a nod nowadays in the Christian culture with Christmas, because Christmas is like a juggernaut. It's huge. It's this big celebration. But Epiphany was one of the three great festivals of the early church. There was Easter, Pentecost, and then there was Epiphany. And the reason that it was a great celebration was because it acknowledged the incarnation and also the light that shined in the darkness. It doesn't get any better than that. Light shining in the darkness, which is always helps us see a little clearer, a little better. And who saw? Who were the ones that saw this light first? It was the Magi. And who were these men? We really don't know. They've been called wise men, three kings, magi. Were there three of them? We're not even sure. It just says that there were three gifts. And back then, I don't think they had gift tags where they wrote, from all of us, right? There were three gifts. Perhaps Matthew wasn't even concerned with the identity of these men. Maybe the intent was to bring two different groups of wise men together in the story to see different reacting ways to the action of God breaking into human history, to truly breaking into our world. Alan Culpepper, who is the founding dean of the McAfee School of Theology at Mercer, says this, plays with it a little bit in the feeding of the word. He says, the Magi are compared and contrasted with the chief priests and the scribes that Herod called together. He called all these wise men together to try to get an idea of what was going on, to figure out what was happening. He was frightened. His power was going to be overruled. And as it got worse and worse as his knowledge grew and these men started sharing, you know, what they knew. You see, when the light is seen, when a glimpse of what is possible is given, and a vision of the depth of God's love for all of creation is revealed, there's only one proper response. There's only one proper response. Matthew tells us that the intent of the Magi from the very beginning was worship. It was a journey of worship. The Magi were there seeking, but they didn't know what they were really seeking. They didn't know anything about it. The scribes and the Pharisees knew absolutely everything. They had great knowledge, but they weren't seeking. They didn't care. The scribes and the priests don't move from their comfortable seats of wisdom and knowledge and leadership, even when presented with the knowledge of what was about to happen, even though they had knowledge to claim it as their own. You see, knowing and seeking are not necessarily the same thing. We know we need to eat healthy, get sleep, exercise, but do we really seek out that lifestyle? Do we really seek out a healthy lifestyle? We know that we need to get out of our comfort zones, learn, keep growing, stretch ourselves, but do we seek things? Do we do things? Do we get up to promote growth in our lives? We know we're called to love God, to love others, to love ourselves, but do we seek new ways to love people, to accept people, to extend grace? We know that what God has done out of the great love for us, coming as a baby, and then walking among us, suffering, dying, and rising in glory. But let me ask you, do we seek with open hearts to be transformed by a relationship with Him? You see, knowing and seeking can be two very different things. Seeking requires us to be active, to get up, to move, to go in search of. Will we stay in the comfort zones of just knowing this year, or will we seek out the light and then in turn grow? We're beginning a new series at College Park here. We did Love Big last year, and I want to tell you that Love Big isn't going anywhere, because as followers of Jesus, we're always called to love big, to love God with all of our hearts and our minds and our souls, and to love others as we love ourselves. And that's where we get tripped up, I think. We get a little tripped up with this. We don't always see ourselves the way God sees us, worthy enough, lovable, His as is, which then in turn, we don't see others the way God sees them, worthy enough, as is His. So we will keep Love Big at the center of our what we're looking at, the center of who we are as a church, but we're going to use 2020 to start looking at things more clearly, to see, isn't that great, 2020? Elizabeth came into my office one day and she goes, 2020, let's use the theme seeing clearly. I'm going to give her all the props because she did it. And I thought, that's fantastic. That's my new, that's it. So we're not letting go of love big, but we're going to start working on seeing clearly. If you ever wore glasses like I do or contacts, you know how great it is to see. I was in San Francisco. My sister and I were there visiting my other sister about 5 or 6 years ago, and my glasses broke. And we were going to nice restaurants, and I couldn't see anything, and I was so frustrated. I was completely frustrated, struggled, because it's difficult if you cannot see well, if things are blurry. It's just frustrating. But it's kind of like life. Our life is that way, too. Our hearts see. They have eyes. Our souls have sight. There are so many things that blur the vision of our life, and I think that's what we need to talk about. Obstacles that keep us from healing and being whole. Things that hold us back from reconciliation with one another. That stall our transformation. Keeping us from going, growing and becoming who we were meant to be and what we were called to do. We have old hurts and disappointments and pain that we carry day after day that blur our vision. We have lies that we've told ourselves or about others that we just kept tending to and allowed to blur the vision, take root, and stop us from living a good story. We have prejudice that were passed down from families or parents, losing sight of God's love for every single person. We have anger that powerfully distorts our vision and keeps us from the healing power of forgiveness. We have anger and fear that keeps our heads down and our faces covered, so that we cannot see the great hope that comes with a good faith. And it can be from exhaustion, from carrying life's heavy loads. Life can get heavy sometimes. Someone told me yesterday, I think it's the Buddhist, that all life is suffering. It is true, but there's joy found in a relationship with Jesus. We forget what's true and good and possible. And if we don't check our vision every day and make sure we're seeing things clearly, we go through life and years and days and months without seeing things the way we're supposed to see things, not seeing God at work in our lives, missing grace weaving its way through our days, missing God's unique plan and purpose that each one of us has. Last Sunday, if you were here, Josh Bell preached and told us that, reminded us how we measure ourselves, how we tend to measure ourselves with whether it's our jobs, our relationships, our income, our attractiveness. Maybe our homes or our cars. Maybe it's how well we parent or how fast we can run if you're a runner. The list is long. We measure ourselves every single day. But after reading what Paul said in the scripture, he says it's garbage compared to what our life is with Jesus. It's all garbage. And then he goes on to tell us to forget what's behind. 2019, forget what's behind. Get up, move, seek out what's going to happen, what God has waiting for you. Josh also reminded us, and this was something that I loved. It's probably going to go on my wall somewhere. God doesn't measure us. God holds us. God doesn't measure us. He doesn't care about your job. He doesn't care about your car. He doesn't care. He holds us. And if you're like me, being held can be difficult. It requires us to let go, to hold still, to be present, and to kind of let go of control, release control. But if we're humble enough and brave enough to allow God to hold us, we find an epiphany there, an aha moment. It is where strength is found. It is where real peace is offered. It is where we see God's grace is sufficient. Being held is where we see light. We see clearly. It is there in the quiet where we hear God whispering, "You're mine. You belong to me. Walk in this way. I'm with you." It's in the holding that we really begin to see things clearly. When we allow God to hold us, God's love and grace wipes all the smears and smudges off the lenses that have been messed up, where we've been bruised and maybe tattered with our hearts and our souls. This is the place where God can make all things new. So how do we do that? How do we work on seeing God clearly? How do we make time and space for this to be held in 2020? Well, this week, I did a lot of reading. It's kind of a fun week in between before school starts, and so I read what I want to read, not always my classwork. And I found this Japanese philosophy called Kaizen. It's a change for better, translated good change. And it's a Japanese productive philosophy that focuses on deliberate and continual change. And part of it is that it's thinking about taking baby steps. It's just making 1% change every single day. Eventually, those small actions create big change in our life. It turns giant goals into baby steps. You just simply have to identify one thing, the smallest action you can take that will move you toward it. You have to do it. For example, I've got some examples. Maybe you said, I'm going to stop eating sugar and ice cream and everything ever. Right? How many people said that? I'm not eating sugar. I know my sister has to raise her hand because they said, we're going to stop eating everything. You know, we're going to stop eating. And then what if you said, I'm going to eat one bite less of ice cream every single day? It's a start. That's way better for me. I will do 100 push-ups. What if you said, I'll do one push-up a day this week? I bet you'd be successful, right? I'm never going to drink a soda again. What if you said, maybe I'll replace one soda a day or a week with water or tea? Here's one that I want you to ponder. So many people say, I'm going to pray and meditate and spend time with God and just be really close. This is the year. I'm going to press into God. How about if you said, I will pray and meditate, allowing myself to be held by God for 1 or 2 minutes a day? Sounds doable. One of my goals for this year for us as a community is community of faith is to dig deeper and to grow spiritually. We need to do that as a church body, not just to know, but to really get out of our comfort zones and seek what God has in store for us. To walk with God, to be led by God's Holy Spirit, one step at a time together. At times, sometimes we have to do the personal work before we can do the community work well. Have you ever had someone on your team that you're like, woo? Sometimes we have to do the personal work in order to be a good community. God has great plans for us, but we need to let go of the garbage, each of us individually. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let's just, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. If we don't give up. So can I ask you this week, would you agree to take one small step with me? One small, for 7 days. I'll see you next Sunday, okay? Will you join me and slow down? Hold still and allow yourself to be held for a minute or two by God. And when you're there, I want you to ask God to help you see clearly in 2020, to see the way His Spirit sees, because it's very different than ours. Our vision is so different than the way God sees things. Last Sunday, the worship team sang a song, You're Here. It's a Christmas song, You're Here. I'm not going to sing it, but it's an absolutely amazing song. But it's kind of like what we're celebrating with Epiphany today. God is still here with us. He's moving into 2020 with us. He could have left us on our own. That's a line from the song. He could have left us on our own, but God's here. He's here. God's love was seen 2,000 years ago by the Magi, and is still being seen through us. So this year, may we see well and love big with everyone we're with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.